Hello, welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Ears, for the 24th of January, 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
Who totally doesn't work for the Home Office.
No, I don't. I don't want to. We've got the cameras on, right?
Yeah, they're on.
Okay, sorry.
We're having a joke before we start. We found out that Harry used to take a train every morning and ended up on the same train with the guy who worked at the Home Office, kept trying to talk to him.
Yeah, he was trying to... No, just inane chatter about stuff that I don't care about.
Have you heard of the Russian diplomat, Dmitry Meskinov?
I don't need to know any of that, Gav.
today, we're going to be talking about the exploding taxi and also the fact that he's a failed asylum seeker. The
surprise.
Patriot Feds or whatever the hell...
Fed Front.
Is what they're calling themselves.
Mix it up any way you like.
I did see there was a lot of criticism of when you thought they were feds, and I think that's you quickly.
I don't know,
that's
kind of fed behavior right there.
Okay. Anyone who disagrees with me is a fed.
Yes, exactly.
And also, transparency is now censorship, according to the ACLU and the mainstream left, which is interesting take. I love the ACLU. I love how far they've fallen, frankly, because it's just a great example of just like, well, if you let leftists into your organization...
Robert Conquest proven right there.
Yes.
They are a husk.
Some information first on the website. So the first thing here being a premium video, the monarchy question. So this is Josh and Carl debate the monarchy, in which my money was definitely on Carl for that one. Monarchy for the win.
I've not watched it yet.
I watched some of it, and I saw...
Is it just autistic screeching at one another an hour and a half?
Josh was making the argument at one point that, well, if we had a monarchy, you know, the rules are there that the monarch can just turn up and kill all the politicians and overthrow the whole country. And Carl was just like, you make a compelling point.
I was going to say, that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah. But anyway, go and check that out. So that's the monarchy debate, shall we say. The next thing to mention is Josh and Bo's contemplations. So this is on social hierarchy. Should go and check that out. The one up over the weekend. And the next thing being Epoch. So this is the life of Solon. I don't know how I'm saying his name wrong there. This is the lawgiver of Athens. So... gives all the laws to Athens. Go and check that out. And the last thing to mention being the gold tier subscriber call. So this is only for gold tier members, in which we have a Zoom call at the end of the month. I think it's usually the last Friday of every month. And this one will be starting at 3:30 UK time, a little bit earlier, half an hour earlier than usually. So just make sure people are aware. So, you know, turn up for 3:30 there.
Yeah, that's because we're extending it an extra half hour from what John just said. So it should be interesting because normally we don't actually, on the one that I've been on, we don't have much time to answer everybody's questions. So,
yeah, and usually we just hang around, ask questions, talk S, the usual, and get to meet a lot of the gold tier guys, which is usually it's pretty eye-opening as well. Like the guy from Thailand that we spoke to last time was super interesting.
Yeah, so. We've got lots of really smart gold tier members.
Yeah.
And I just feel really dumb next to all of them.
Well, that's why it's good to hang out, because then they can tell each other stories as well as in the video comments.
Yeah, there you go.
So, that's that. But let's move into the stories, because otherwise we're going to run out of time. So, the exploding taxi, or the mystery of the exploding taxi, as it was known at the time. So, this is not fake taxi. This is the other kind of taxi. So, this is the story you may remember here. So, BBC News. Liverpool bomber made device with murderous intent, coroner says. So, this is the taxi that turned up at a hospital, a women's hospital, and just blew up, just mysteriously. Normal things.
Just went up.
British things, as usual.
You know, just spontaneously combusting taxis.
Yeah. And I mentioned that you may remember this, because you may not. Because, of course... how quickly we are made to forget things that don't fit the progressive narrative, don't we? And this was a story that just instantly disappeared. Yeah. Should we have a conversation? No, let's just move on. Nothing to see here, Governor. Very much in the same vein as the United States with the guy who drove the truck into all those kids.
Oh, the rogue truck.
Yeah. Let's go to the next link here, which is the Guardian coverage at the time, just to remind everyone. Keep this burned into your memories, because we're going to get into the actual details of the story in a minute, and this will make you seriously mad when we come back. Emad Al-Suwelman, Liverpool attack suspect reported to be a Christian convert. So this is the Guardian running to their typewriters to be like, computers, to be like, he's a Christian. This has nothing to do with Islam. Don't offend Islam. Please.
Look at this beautiful picture of him in the sunlight. We've put bloom on it.
Yes, this is Emad Al-Suwelman.
What a sweet boy.
Yeah. He's of Syrian and Iraqi heritage, they say in here as well. Hmm. And it was also already known at this point that he was, with his bomb, trying to target a cathedral. And then had to divert to the hospital because he was in traffic, apparently.
A very Christian bombing.
Mm, yes. You know what Christians do? Bomb cathedrals.
It's one of their favourite pastimes.
Again, Four Lions levels. But let's go to the details, because this is the main story. If we go to the next link here, you can see here. Bomber not deported despite asylum rejection. And this is a tragic story of essentially how crap the, let's say, deportation services of our entire civilization is. We've not just the United Kingdom.
Obviously, they don't all end in bombings, but we've got countless stories of people just being rejected.
All it takes is a few.
Yeah, all it takes is a few for a trend to start. But we've got so many stories of people coming over here, being rejected for their asylum, and then nothing.
Yeah.
They just stay.
Let's read the details. Although Sawalman claimed to be Syrian and in fear for his life, language analysis by the Home Office revealed he was from Iraq. An immigration judge concluded he had no documents to support his claim to be Syrian and no connections with that country. He had travelled into the UK on a genuine Jordanian passport that he claimed was a fake to bolster his case. Off to a great start, just openly lying to us as the nation he wants to move to, of course. Despite the judgment, Sawalman was able to stay in the UK, where he converted to Christianity and made more asylum appeals. On the basis that I'm a Christian, bruv, don't send me back.
That's a very interesting order of events there. Gets rejected, then converts. Almost like it's a tactic.
Almost like it's legal advice.
Yes.
You should become a Christian. Also, mysteriously come gay as well. It's also legal advice, I've heard. So, the Home Office has refused to comment on details of Sawalman's asylum case and whether efforts were made to deport him. Now, I wonder why that would be. An inquest, the only public proceedings relating to the bombing, concluded in a single day. They just didn't want to dig deeper into what went on there, because they know what went on there. Because the court documents, as the Times have got here, we can find out why. Sawalman, who suffered from depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder, arrived in Britain in April 2014, and the Home Office refused his application for asylum in November that year. He appealed to the first-tier tribunal, but his case was rejected on April 16th, 2015. So he didn't even get past the first stage of appeals, so this is clear bollocks.
Over 7 years... Since his initial rejection. Just stick around, I suppose. Maybe see the sights, you know?
Yeah. But it gets worse, the levels of just utter deceit we have from this individual. Well, this terrorist, as it turned out. The judgment reveals that Sawalman claimed he was born and brought up in Syria, but went to live in the United Arab Emirates in 2013. He said he was at risk of persecution if he returned to Syria, a country he had never lived in.
We don't even know if he'd ever been to.
In reality, Sawalman had a middle-class upbringing in Jordan, Iraq, and Dubai. You know, just multiple countries, middle-class, doing very well for himself. I mean, the UAE of all places. His mother was Iraqi, and his father was an engineer in Jordan, where he held a passport. He had been living in the UAE, and his explanations for leaving were not credible, according to the Home Office, and there was nothing to suggest he would be at risk in Jordan or Iraq if he were returned there. So just absolutely no reason for him to be anywhere outside of the Middle East, let alone in Europe, let alone in the UK, one of the most northwestern parts of Europe.
Yes.
No reason to be here. And the Home Office knew for years. No one did anything. No. Priti Patel gave an excuse for all this.
Oh, great.
Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, said he exploited the merry-go-round of Britain's broken asylum system by making repeated claims to say, you can keep saying that, but you've been Home Secretary for quite a while now. And you have reformed all of this stuff. So either it's got to be fixed or you're the one to blame.
You recognize that it's broken. Do something about it.
If the reforms have worked as you say they have, well, why does everything still be broken? However, there is believed to have been a period of at least 2 years where there were no active appeals for Sawalman, yet a removal order was not sought for him. So this destroys her own argument. So she's arguing that, well, he was abusing the system, making all these applications for appeals.
Yeah,
but there are 2 years where he has no appeal active.
And we just left him.
We just still did nothing. And then they continue this article. Sawalman visited Liverpool's Anglican Cathedral in 2015, saying he wanted to convert. He took an Alpha course to teach him about Christianity and was confirmed in May 2017. And you may remember that his first target was a cathedral. And then he ended up having to go to the hospital because of traffic, as was said.
He was very eager to meet his 72 choir boys.
Yes. So this is a man who is converting to Christianity, presumably for the application reasons, the legal advice, and the idea that the Guardian, as you saw there, initially reported being like, whoa, nothing to do with Islam. He's a Christian. He went there for the legal advice and then tried to bomb it. He made a later asylum appeal, claiming that his late grandfather's Syrian passport had been found. There was a claim under his alias Enzo Alani that he understood to have been under review at the time of the attack. So he then just made some BS claim that his grandfather had a Syrian passport. No one believes that. Yeah. And it was under review at the time he decided to blow himself up. So there's that. But the thing is, this isn't uncommon.
No.
This is incredibly common. Not just the aspect of people lying about their asylum application, but also the terrorists. And we'll mention that. because it doesn't get mentioned ever, and I don't know why. We'll just go through a short list, shall we? So he, the guy who blew himself up in Liverpool, the exploding taxi, was an asylum seeker, failed, and wasn't deported, because apparently there's no capacity to do so. This one here, so this is the Reading stabber, as you can see there, pictured, I believe this was, what was it, in Libya or something, being a innocent-looking boy.
Model citizen.
Upstanding citizen. He was an asylum seeker. Wonderful. We go to the next one. We have the 2018 Westminster Bridge attacker, who was also an asylum seeker. If we go to the next one, we have the Parsons Green bomber, who was also an asylum seeker. If we go to the next one, we have the one on the left there. That's one of the three 2017 London Bridge attackers, who was an asylum seeker. If we go to the next one, we have the Manchester bomber. So, I mean, the fact that I'm saying this is not uncommon, it is not uncommon. All the, well, a vast majority of the successful terrorist attacks in recent years have been asylum seekers.
Yes.
That's something we have to come to terms with.
And we need to talk about this because anybody who... I mean, I went to Manchester because I was still going to university in Salford the day after this happened. I had friends who were at that gig and a friend who had been working in the Manchester arena a few days before. Happily, that just happened to be his day off. Like, there's a serious element of trauma that goes into a city after something like this has happened. As anyone who lives in London will probably know when any of the other attacks have happened. It's awful, and then it just gets swept under the rug.
Just things you don't need to remember about. Don't look back in anger.
Exactly. Remember that? You go to a city and you see armed police officers wandering about with assault rifles, and you think, yeah, let's just forgive this. Forgive and forget.
Do you remember after the Finsbury Park mosque attack in which a guy drove into a bunch of innocent Muslims at a mosque, everyone started singing Don't Look Back in Anger?
I don't remember that part, no.
It only goes one way. Interesting. But this is where I'm going to pick up here. So you may remember the Manchester arena bomber. So sorry if we go back. So we can mention the fact that, if I get his name correct,
Salman Abedi.
He was the son of refugees from Libya. I swear, just refugees from Libya, just refugees. Well, what happened with all that family? Because I still don't really know, and I don't think anyone's going to know in the end what really went on here with his connection to his parents, because he's the son, remember? Well, if we go to the next link, we can look at his brother, who has been jailed to 55 years in prison
for
involvement in the attack.
Ah, yes. Runs in the family, then.
It's not just him on his own, but no. Maybe it's the two brothers, maybe it's the two mischievous boys. Just doing what they do.
A pair of scamps.
Yeah. Boys will be boys, after all. We go to the next image. We can see his other brother, pictured here, as a follower of the Movement of Peace. So this is Ismail Abedi, who was meant to give evidence in the court about the whole situation, and then fled the UK, presumably to go on tour.
With his rocket launcher?
Yeah, just hanging about. If we go to the next image, we can see a picture of Ismail here on the left, and then the father of the whole family there on the right. Again, a follower of peace and innocence, and a refugee that we need to take care of in the UK. We need to let refugees into the UK, because who knows what kind of terror they might get up to.
He's
in
a
Libya.
Boon to our economy, Callum. I don't know what you're talking about.
But also, there are men with guns after this man.
Illegal gun sales went up 50% after this man moved in.
But also, just like remember, the justification for most refugees is they're in immense danger. And if we're looking at a legitimate refugee, such as someone, let's say, in China, who is fleeing the North Korean regime, well, we can't send them back to North Korea. We can't keep them in China. They're not safe there either, because the Chinese deport them back to North Korea. Okay, then we need to bring them to a safe country, and Britain could be one of those safe countries. Instead, we give places to men who are, I am sure, at threat of death.
And he seems like he might be a danger to other people, judging by this picture.
Are we saving people by bringing him here? I'm sure that's kind of logic. And if we go to the next link, we can find out what happened to the dad, which is apparently he's just gone missing. Like, completely.
Oh, it just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, so there was some, like, Islamist militia who ended up arresting one of the brothers and then sent him back for extradited, and then we give him 55 years. Though not the other one, don't know what happened to him. But the dad was in their custody as well, and they just let him go without charge.
Oh, okay.
So he's just free. He's wandering about.
Doing his thing.
Don't look back in anger. Also, don't look too deeply into what happened.
No.
Or any of the family.
No.
Or the fact that we have this continuing problem with the same set of events. I thought we'd go to the next image here, which is a post on Getter from John here, making the point. In 2021, there were 37,562 asylum applications. 13,000 were granted, plus 6,000 family members of refugees were granted reunion visas, but only 48 were served with inadmissibility decisions, and 10 were returned. 10.
And... not much really you can say about that. Speaks for itself, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is pathetic. We have no capacity to send people back, apparently. And this isn't a problem just with the UK. This is a problem with the entire Western civilization, frankly. If we go to the next link, we can see some examples of just like the countries coming here, because I endlessly laugh at this graph, because remember how many of those countries border the UK? Zero.
Mm, yeah.
Love my zeros.
I mean, a few of them border each other.
Yeah. Quite. I think basically all of them border safe countries, or can be classified as safe countries, depending on the circumstance, obviously. But the exception rate for the refugee from war-torn Bangladesh, it's 27%.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to make the argument, as leftists always do, that this is Britain's fault because war, we have troops in two of those nations.
Yeah.
And one of them, well, we just left because the Taliban are now in charge, but whatever. Let's go to the next link, because I wanted to also, I think we should have done a book review on the strange death of Europe long ago. And we
should, to be fair. We still need to do it. I've got a copy of it.
We could do. But I read it on my phone, and I thought I'd take out a few links to talk about this, because this is the situation, which is this bombing and the fact that he was a failed asylum seeker for several years. And we might be able to say, well, Priti Patel, you know, why have you done your job? And I get that. But the capacity to send people back to where they came from doesn't really exist. We have no means to do this. And I'm not just meaning the UK. I mean the entire Western civilization. This is all of Europe, all the United States, Canada. We are all absolutely crap at this, apparently. And, well, Douglas has the details. As he says, and a few of the quotes from here that I'm going to take out. As of the end of May 2016, Germany had over 220,000 people under deportation orders. 11,300 of these were deported to other countries. 5% of the hundreds of thousands of people in Germany that had no more right to be there than anyone else, in fact, had no right to be there. They needed to leave, because they'd been given deportation orders, the German authorities were able to deport 5%. Hundreds of thousands of people just get away with it. In fact, almost 200,000, over 200,000 people. And yeah, he has a quote. The German Interior Minister boasted in Parliament that, quote, this is much more than in past years.
Ah, this is a good thing. Big number go up means good.
Success. No, utter failure.
Yeah. Immigration is not stonks.
Yeah. And this speaks to a truth, which a lot of people did criticize Douglas, and I think there's, you know, fair criticism out there, but one of them is that he doesn't offer solutions. And while this is de facto one of the solutions, as he is pointing out to you, you cannot deport them. The effectiveness of that, let's say, sector of our government doesn't seem to work, no matter which government you're looking at. Well, in which case, the solution is do not let them in. You process them outside country, and if you want them inside country, or it is valuable to bring them, then you bring them. But if not, don't, because there is no reason for them to be here. And if we go on to the next link, you may remember this story, or at least this absolute meme. So this, for people listening, is an image of a man in a school uniform with his...
Hello, fellow kids.
With his stubble. And this is because we allowed child migrants, especially those in Calais, those vulnerable children in Calais, to come over to the UK.
All right, we'll accept you're a child, but you have to go back to school, okay? That's the agreement, all right? All right?
Retake your GCSEs. And the agreement was that, well, we can't let poor, suffering child migrants sit in Calais. Oh, it's horrible. How could we do this? Inhumane.
And where is this boy's parents?
How dare we leave them in France? Don't we know that that's a war-torn S? Wait, what? So then we brought a bunch of them over. And as you can see here, this is some student on his Snapchat posting, how is there a 30-year-old man in our maths class with a crying emoji? Because this man in a school uniform does look absolutely ridiculous. I thought I'd take some more quotes from The Strange Death of Europe, because it just it gets worse than we ever thought. The UK revealed that only 1 in 5 of the lone child migrants who lie about their age in a bid to stay in the country are ever deported.
So classrooms across the country presumably filled with spry young men like this man.
Get away with it.
Yes.
That's the thing. 4 out of 5, get away with it. This is so obvious, and yet you have an 80% chance of just getting away with it. If you get into the UK, the lesson is, because we are unable to deport these people, you are safe.
And no
Once you make it over in that dinghy, no one's going to get rid of you.
Yeah, no wonder they're all heading over here. This guy's probably sending letters to his family back home like, you've no idea how easy it was, guys. Bunch of suckers.
5 plus 6, easy peasy. I got an A and a smiley sticker today at school.
I got a gold star.
Dad, when are you coming home? Don't. I'm too busy in school, son. Bye.
I'm being too successful.
Yeah.
I lead a gang of bullies now.
We bullied the weak kids. But it's not just the UK. As I say, again, Sweden sought to discover the age of almost 8,000 people who had recently arrived in Sweden claiming to be child refugees. The Czechs, carried out in cases where there were doubts as to the age, found that 6,600 of the 8,000 people tested were in fact over the age of 18. That's more than 82%.
Wow.
It's bad enough when we have someone saying, oh, I can't go back to Syria and the documents are all messed up. And, you know, it's obvious in the case of the terrorist that he was a bloody liar and yet he wasn't deported, which is pathetic. But it's you know, it's obvious to be mad about that. The system is so broken. We have men with beards, apparently, throughout the West. And we are like, I'm not sure if he's a child or not.
No, I can't tell. Better take the safe option and let him in.
Put him in year four. He's got to retake his GCSEs.
Yep.
That is how pathetic our systems are at dealing with this problem. And Douglas ends this with those who, you know, those 6,600 Swedish child refugees who are all balding. He says, what will happen to them? The same thing that happens to near everybody. They will stay. They will never be deported. They will just continue to live in the West. And this is the problem and the solution he's bringing up implicitly in there, which is you cannot let them in. Because apparently our systems in the West are just not capable of dealing with any of this. Even if it's because of lack of political will or lack of funding or lack of just the balls to do something.
Yes.
Don't know. But either way, the solution is to not let them in. And he has a quote from Mark Stein here, which I want to read as well because it's a great quote. If free countries have to have unsightly security controls, why don't they have them around the national borders rather than around every single thing inside those borders? It's a fantastic point.
It is very inconvenient when you're wandering around major train station. There's no bins because it's easy to put bombs in them.
Or you have the Merkel Christmas present blocks of granite just in the road because too many trucks. I remember when John Moore tested this when we were in Russia. When you get a train in Russia, you have to go with your passport and you have to go with like your bags and they go through the scanning and you get checked like going through the airport. And then when you get to the train, you have to give them your passport to check it. So it could always be worse as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If we continue to just let hundreds and hundreds of people just rock up on the shores as we are.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like we don't have a certain level of good reason to be that cautious at this point.
But this is something to keep in mind. Whenever you talk about any migration, as soon as you have let them into your country, they're never going to leave. At least 80% of them, even if fake, are never going to leave. You cannot let them in. That is the rule of how to deal with this. Let's go to the next segment.
All right, moving on. So it's time to ask ourselves the question, who are Patriot Front? Now, Carl and I covered a little bit of their shenanigans back at the beginning of December when they rocked up to Washington, D.C. to do a march from the mall through to, I think, the lake in Washington, D.C., that little river, whatever it is. I'm not American, so forgive me. But just as a reminder, all of these guys just showed up with all their flags, all wearing the same uniform, all wearing khakis, blue top, masks and caps and sunglasses to hide their identities. And they all seemed, in a lot of the videos that most people saw, to be in suspiciously good shape. Now, Carl and I, for a bunch of reactionaries and such, I mean, we've all seen the videos and pictures of the obvious feds at other rallies who are all in suspiciously good shape.
Yeah, okay. I love that that's become a metric now.
Well,
are you in good shape? Probably a fed.
Well, I am getting in better shape, so you best keep an eye on me.
Well, you did used to be on a train with MI5, so... Oh. Sorry, the Home Office.
Not the MI5, not the Home Office. How dare you? But no, it was one of those things where the whole image of them, everything else around them, the fact that they seemed to sprout up out of nowhere got a bit of attention.
Sorry, just all the chats is like they're not fat like proper patriots.
These are American patriots that we're talking about.
You know, you are right about that.
So come on.
All right, yeah, you've got me.
So come on. But yeah, we got a bit of pushback from some people when we were talking about them because they'd been on, I pointed out a number of things. They'd been on Telegram for a few years. Their leader, Thomas Rousseau, who will talk about in a moment, was involved previously in Vanguard America, who were part of the Unite the Right in Charlottesville. So there is quite a bit to say that, you know, maybe they are a real group. But there's the thing as well that goes with that, which is that, as we'll find out as we go through, if they are a real group, they're not very good. They're not particularly threatening, shall we say, but they do seem very optically convenient for any news organization or counter-terrorist group to be able to say, see, haha, we do have true white supremacy in the country. But yeah, let's go through a bit of a reminder of what's going on. So this was back in December. More than 100 members of the white nationalist hate group Patriot Front marched on the National Mall on Saturday evening. The group donned a uniform of khakis, blue jackets and tan hats. Their faces were obscured by sunglasses and white masks that covered their noses and mouths. Some carried American flags, others a banner that read Reclaim America. Those on the outer flanks of the procession were equipped with shields. The group marched from the Lincoln Memorial down to the mall towards the Capitol building. Later they ended up around Arlington Memorial Bridge, according to the Daily Beast, and some apparently became temporarily stranded when they could not all fit into their rented U-Hauls. So, seems like a pretty typical sort of march, doesn't it? But the thing that they mentioned there with the U-Hauls was one of the things that made me a little bit suspicious when it first came around. John, if you want to move along, we've got a little bit of a clip here. People managed to film them on the U-Hauls. Just play it so that we can all see it and I'll describe it to people. So what you can see here is that there's a U-Haul pulling up at the side of the road, and there seems to be a cordoned off section of the road with lots of police there, seemingly helping them. And then as we move on, they will open up the back of the U-Haul.
Hey, you want me to just take this lane?
And all of the Unite the Right guys, well, not Unite the Right, all of the Patriot Front guys start to just pile into the back of the U-Haul without any seats or seat belts or anything like that. And the police are just absolutely fine with this. They're all just going to drive off. And that's one of the things that was a little...
Is that illegal?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's one of the things that was a bit suspicious to me when I saw this. And I was like, why would the police be assisting them? This is very obviously illegal. And you also think to yourself, well, the police in the US would be have great incentives to arrest a bunch of supposed reactionary right-wingers. All you need to do is look at the way, you know, some of the January 6th people have been treated without even necessarily being charged with anything beyond trespassing, kept for months at a time in prison. But then all of a sudden, another white nationalist hate group comes out and does a very obviously illegal thing, and the police just stand there.
Booking boys? No.
Yeah, nothing. In fact, we'll help them. So that's one of the things, and let's just move along again, John, if you want to go over to the next one, just to give a little update on Thomas Rousseau. This is the guy who supposedly fronts the Patriot Front. Thomas Ryan Rousseau, this is from the Southern Poverty Law Center, so, you know, not the best source, but they seem to be relatively accurate with what they've got for him. Rousseau grew up in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas, where he attended Coppell High School. While enrolled, he was involved with The Sidekick, the Coppell High School student newspaper, where he was the staff cartoonist during his senior year. He also contributed to video production and wrote a number of opinion columns for the paper. This appears to be where the young white supremacist cultivated the propaganda production skills that propelled his rapid ascension into leadership on the racist right, first with Vanguard America and later with his founding of Patriot Front. And as I've mentioned before, Vanguard America were the people at Charlottesville. I believe there is footage that you can see of him walking along with all the people with the tiki torches and that such. So Thomas Rousseau might be legit in terms of his fronting of these sorts of and involvement with these organizations. Might be. But if we move along, so what's happened that's propelled this news that we're talking about today is that they have had their chats and servers leaked online by Unicorn Riot. And before we go into what they've been leaked, I just want to make a point about Unicorn Riot. These people are a far-left media group. They have coverage of the BLM riots from mid-2020, which they have dubbed the George Floyd Uprising.
Yeah.
Because it, to them, supposedly, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I remember them in the book club we did on Andy Ngo's book, Unmasked. You can have quite a few mentions of them in there as well, if I remember correctly, in which they're just endlessly covering for anti-fascist terrorism.
Oh, yes. There were lots of other articles from people like the Daily Dot and other people who were quoting directly from Antifa's Twitter accounts and speaking directly with Antifa on the reporting of this, and we'll see that in a little bit later. But just to make a point that whether or not Patriot Front are a real white nationalist group, domestic terrorist group, Unicorn Riot, the people exposing them, are also supporters of domestic terrorism. So, I don't know. Kind of says it all, really, doesn't it? But just to go into what they say in here, so the detailed inner workings and operations of neo-Nazi organization Patriot Front have come to light after a massive leak from their chat servers. The exposed communications show coordination with their leader Thomas Rousseau to deface murals and monuments to black lives across the United States, and intimate struggles to bolster morale through group activities like hiking and camping. these racist bastards going off hiking and camping with one another. Oh, how could they? But yes, they do deface murals. There's lots of footage and photographs of them where they've got like murals in towns where it's like peace.
You always miss the thing, don't you? I but that's the thing. They're like, they're always like, here's the bad stuff, but also they do hiking, camping. I mean, do you remember when, I can't remember who we were reading in which they were just like, yeah, you know, the neo-Nazis or the Nazis, they've got flags.
Yeah.
Don't you know flags are Nazism?
Flags like, are evil, don't right, you know?
No, we don't like the Nazis because of, like, the genocide, not because they own flags. You weirdos.
Flags are fine. They're inanimate objects,
the hiking
guys.
And the camping part, Unicorn Riot, that's fine. No one cares about the hiking. It's the terrorism and the crime that people care about.
I bet they even sit around a campfire and sing songs to one another. God, I hate them so much.
Oh, I'm a good old rare, but no.
No, but yeah, they go around. They've got murals in cities all over the place, which honestly I find quite annoying, where it's like peace, love, all this like modern anti-racist stuff, and they'll just spray over them and spray their own logos and phrases over them. You know, I'm not condoning it, but I do find those original murals quite annoying in the first place. But also, this is nothing that we couldn't see from their Telegram. If you go back and watch Carl and I's previous thing on this, you know, they've got it plastered all over their Telegram, just like spray painting everything. It's not something that they hide.
We go camping.
Yeah, that's right. And this release includes more than 400 gigabytes of data published by Unicorn Riot. Ostensibly private, unedited videos and direct messages reveal a campaign to organize acts of racial hatred while indoctrinating teenagers into national socialism, brackets, Nazism. The information stands as a chilling reminder that fascist organizing thrives in secrecy and obscurity.
They're not very secret if they're publicly posting their crimes.
Yeah. And they're not very obscure anymore since the beginning of December, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Patriot Front, known for its disconcerting masked flash rallies and racist sticker campaigns, is a, I just wanted to point that out there. Racist stickers.
Oh, what's that going to be? It's okay to be white?
No, not even that. Everything that I've seen them put up is basically just saying "Unite America," "Reclaim America," and stuff like that.
Okay, typical propaganda.
If it's in reference to America, it's racist. These racist stickers, how dare they? Vanguard America's Blood, Sand, and BloodandSoil.org domain was reconfigured to support Patriot Front's main internal communication systems, a self-hosting instance of Rocket Chat, an open-source chat server software similar to Slack and Discord messaging platforms with multiple channels. Information security in the centralized communications project failed almost entirely. Sources provided Unicorn Riot with screenshots, audio recordings, and meetings self-hosted on another system called Mumble, extracted text of group chats, and even the private direct message system. So they got everything by the sounds of it. So all of they're not particularly good at keeping all of this secret stuff secret by the looks of it. And it seems that so they may have been infiltrated by somebody else to get a hold of all of this secret information, which makes it sound like they might be quite easy to infiltrate, shall we say. Chat messages contain dozens of links to unlock public mega.nz cloud storage directories, which hosted more than 400 gigabytes of raw videos and photos of Patriot Front events, gathering, scouting for vandalizing black monuments, capital B, and much more. Most of the materials come from the latter half of 2021, including a rally in Washington, D.C., so that's the one we were referring to. Despite Patriot Front's strict measures to avoid overt Nazism in their public rhetoric, the group's racist, anti-Semitic, and misogynistic nature shines through quite clearly in their more recently leaked chats. Members frequently use slurs and brag about IRL racist harassment. According to leaked messages, Patriot Front rank and file still enjoy doing Roman salutes, despite rules saying that they shouldn't. In one direct message, exchange members nostalgically recalled throwing up Nazi salutes in front of a Patriot Front flag in full uniform at a bar in Europe while meeting up with Polish neo-Nazi skinheads. And there's some links to Discord and other messages if you scroll down, possibly. And they're talking about doing stuff like blaring a song called Alabama N-Word. This is one where they're just talking about, oh, we need to buy our khaki pants for one another. You know, that kind of level of organization. But yeah, he blared a song called Alabama N-Word at some black guy as he drove past him. I mean, these guys are it's annoying. And I probably wouldn't
it's
be
nice. It's just pathetic.
It wouldn't be nice. But yeah, it's the most pathetic and worst kind of, I don't know, domesticated action. Like, they're even covering up there a Don't Tread On Me thing, which you would say is like...
With fascist symbols.
Yes, with potentially fascist symbols.
They are. They're the fasci.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, the bundle of sticks.
Yeah, they just seem pretty rubbish, to be perfectly honest. They don't seem like any great threat. It seems like a bunch of LARPers.
Well, they look like low-level Antifa, back when they first started out, let's say, in the West, blowing up. You know, doing stupid graffiti, being a massive pain to people, and generally just being obnoxious. And, I mean, just the cringe there as well. I mean, like we all cringed at, like, early Antifa members being like, I'm a communist. And it's like, oh, you're getting the good.
Yeah, now they're like, I'm a Nazi.
I'm a patriot for German supremacy.
Yes. Let's be honest. If they're calling themselves patriot while throwing up the German Nazi salute, they don't know what patriotism to America actually means.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. If we move along as well, I've just included some links to some of the stuff that you can get. So this is the index of the Patriot Front leak. So anyone who wants to check it all out, it's all there. You can go through all of it, although I'm going to go over some funny stuff that I found. So yeah, they've got they've got the documentation of all the members and their names, screenshots of Discord and other chat logs, videos of them putting up banners, because it's always a great idea to film yourself vandalizing public property. That could never blow back on you. Videos of them training, which we've got a few of, which basically just means meeting up in a park and failing to exercise with one another.
Is it like Afghan National Army levels of star jumps?
Okay. Yes, actually that. It all seems very weirdly naive and innocent. They also have documents describing their getaway plans in ice cream trucks, which I assume is the U-Haul sort of stuff that we saw earlier on. There's lots of also defacing anti-racist murals in cities, and just everything that you can think of, but we'll go through some of the good stuff. But this is the main thing that got released that has been making people go, oh, see? Real Nazis, guys. Actual Nazis. When this leaked footage of one of their manifesto readings was released, and let's just take a look at this footage.
Life, liberty, victory.
Life, liberty, victory.
Check it out.
Damn, that's son, that take. Might be a cut.
That's a good take right there.
Sieg fucking high. Let's fucking go. I can say that now that it's over.
Beers!
I want to have my finger up my...
Yes. So he just...
It's just so cringe.
It is very... I'm sorry. It's ridiculously cringe.
It's just like you've got the fascist symbols on your flags as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing?
But yeah, this is one of the things that's been making people go... They kind of glow. To me, just a little bit, just because of how convenient it is that of all of the video footage, because I looked over a lot of the video footage, nowhere else on the video footage, obviously in the leaked chats, there's, you know, racist stuff in there. But in all the video footage, there's nothing else like this. It's only this one video where they're reading out their manifesto, where just at the end of this, he just happens to go, oh, by the way, Sieg Heil, guys.
Yeah. I can see the chat going, why are you gay?
Yeah. It's very suspicious, and it's also the fact that he just throws out as well, I can do that now that it's over. It seems very staged. The way he says it is all very unnatural, so it's a bit suspicious. So it's either that this guy is an absolute goober, or he's a terribly acting fed. But that's just one of the things that I would throw out there. There have been people mocking this guy, like the Libertarian Party responded to this leak with this, where select all the squares with feds. You're going to have to select all of them. And then I also found the full manifesto reading, just for a bit of context here. Oh, yeah, there was also this one from...
Sign up at FBIjobs.org. Yeah.
But let's just take a look at some of the rest of that video where they're reading out the manifesto so we can get a little bit context for that.
Americans are on the threshold of becoming a conquered people. No foreign state waved its banner on the halls of governance. Yet it was our flag which grew foreign as the years passed. A new tyranny must be met with new resistance. America needs a generation of brave men to fearlessly rise to face all threats to their collective interests. A generation steeled in their effort to realize their grand vision of a new nation. This gathering of the faithful, the true inheritors of America, will urge our people onward. To form a new and just state, we must first instill a reformed national spirit within our people. A people free from the vices of the modern world, and a people with a fervor to see themselves free. The cohesion and unity of our people will be the most powerful weapon to be used in our tireless struggle for the nation and its timeless cause. Every soul who embodies the struggle will be an indispensable component of our unified effort for national sovereignty and collective liberty.
Life, liberty, victory.
Life, liberty, victory.
That's been shared on Twitter.
Want to check it out?
Damn, son, that take. Might be a cut.
That's yeah. a good take right there.
Sieg fucking high. Let's fucking go. Fucking say it now. So it's over.
Isn't it? I have my finger. The thing's cringe. I mean, for number one, who whacked up the white filter on that footage? Just one thing.
I don't know.
But then also, just there's something in there that I really just find. Again, I feel like we're using the word a lot, but cringe, especially in fascist yes. rhetoric, was like, we've been conquered by a foreign force, but there's no foreign flag, so let us fly this foreign flag
yep.
of German supremacy and Italian ideals. And I was like,
but right. it's the fact the whole thing seems so low energy
yeah.
to me. He didn't seem to be putting any real effort in, not the sort of like...
Neo-Nazis almost... are usually much more high energy.
Yeah, they tend to have a lot more sort of like almost religious fervor in them for the way that they put across their rhetoric. And that guy's just like, conquered nation, yeah, yeah. And then at the end, the guy's just sort of like, oh, that was a really great take, guys. By the way, I'm a Nazi, just in case you didn't know. It felt...
Let's put that out on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was released in the footage. And once again, that's just that little bit at the end seems like the focal point of the video where all of the energy went into...
Yeah.
The rest of it seems a bit tacked on just to make it look real.
That's a good point.
If you get me.
Hmm.
But that's just a theory. But if we move on, we can see...
a thash theory.
Exactly. Yeah, so here we can see they've got their general conduct that was released as well, which had some amusing parts in it, such as no swearing or vulgar expressions. Actions which violate the moral and upright convictions of the organization are prohibited. Any forms of physical contact, gestures, or vocalizations that may be suggestive or otherwise morally degrading should be absent in both online communications and in person. Violation will result in revocation of privileges or suspension. So it seems like they don't really hold themselves to those standards if in a manifesto reading, there's just like, by the way, here's the Nazi salute.
Yeah, also he said F. In there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I swear.
So no swearing, guys, or you'll get told off. Yeah, so we can go along here as well. They've got this document on how they should document their activism by videotaping it and photographing it. Always a great idea to video your own criminal activities. Brilliant idea. There's no way that could backfire on you. And
to Antifa's credit, at least they're not that stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know, right?
Like reading Unmasked by Andy Ngo, they don't openly just say, yeah, film your own stuff and put it up on social
media.
Yeah,
make sure to get plenty of photographs for our social media, guys.
No.
No. And if we move along again, we can see here, they keep Excel documents, spreadsheets about their weight loss for some reason of all their members. Presumably this is why they all seem to be in better shape than you would expect.
Okay,
of these
everything
sorts of
else
people.
I could disavow this. I'm not so sure.
No, this isn't the best idea. I just like some of the little comments
community
here.
Community fat shaping, huh?
Yeah. Gabriel has no scale. Told him to get one. Some cardio. What are you doing, Gabriel? Some people just aren't responding. One guy, Hugh, lost 12 pounds. Good on you, Hugh. That's not bad. But yeah, so this is presumably why they seem to be in better shape, if you were to take this as being...
They're doing weekly check-ins?
Yeah, I don't know what true or false refers to in this either, but maybe just true.
They were there or not, I suppose.
Yeah, they were there or not. And let's take a look at some of the clips of them working out that have also been released as part of this, if you want to play this, John.
Wait, I need to get
watch
you
your,
my shoulders.
Yeah, watch your feet. Don't come here.
Foot down.
So it'll be on your shoulders, not on
so
your back.
So for anybody not watching, just listening, this is one of the men trying and failing quite embarrassingly to do a fireman carry of one of his compatriots right there. So that's how they're all getting in shape. Just meet up in a public park where all the kids can point and laugh at you. And there's also some other amusing clips of them trying to do like group push-ups where they've all got... Oh, yeah, that's a good point. John's got a good point. They can't be feds. They've all failed their physical. Damn.
Yep, he's got you there.
Real fash confirmed. But yeah, just the last part here is that there's been more leaks from them since the initial video came out on Twitter. And here's an article from the Daily Dot where they're talking about it. And when they just basically say, if you scroll down, you can see where they've... got contacts with it with Antifa, Atlanta Antifa specifically, where they've been speaking and like released some footage from them and released all
wait,
this
wait.
Stuff.
Who's got contacts with them?
Daily Dot.
Right, okay.
With Antifa. Yeah, not that surprising, let's be honest.
Again, we're doing a report on these extremists. Who should we ask? The far-left extremists. Right, that's a game to play, isn't it?
Genius idea, yes. But yeah, there's loads of released footage, and it seems like the... Yeah, brought to you by the anti-fascists in your chat. So it's... I don't know if it's certain, but that makes it sound like Antifa might have people who have infiltrated them. Which makes it seem if I mean, we've all seen the Andy No Antifa lineup pictures. If those guys can infiltrate your organization, how easy would it be for the feds to get into your organization?
So here's a question, though, because I know there's a lot of argument, and I saw, I think it was Sitch yesterday on Twitter being like, you know...
Oh, it's my gut feeling.
Everyone is saying that they're a feds, where's the hard evidence? It's just your feels. And yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, not? That's a fair point.
But one of the things I found interesting, and I'm glad I brought this, actually, so the Active Measures book club, which we'll be doing soon, there's a section in there in which continuously, because it's focusing on the Soviet side of the Cold War, in which the KGB just play both sides. As in, they will set up front organizations for both groups or infiltrate both groups in any given circumstance. And the funniest one being that they started making fake KKK leaflets and also made fake African Brotherhood leaflets. And so they would send like these KKK leaflets that they made to like loads of African nations being like, we will hang you, N-words, all this, blah, blah, blah. And then they will send out African Brotherhood's unity leaflets to those nations, be like, oh no, we're the African Brotherhood and we stand with you. And it's just like, okay, so the idea that the FBI hasn't learned that tactic too, and probably doesn't have people everywhere.
And they know exactly what they're doing.
I can't imagine it would be too hard for them. I mean, they're always looking for terrorist plots or inventing them because they feel like
it. Or funding them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to mention that we mentioned Four Lions earlier. Who's the guy who did that? Because
crap, that's going to escape me now.
I've forgotten his name, but you actually played a clip a while back where you were talking about an interview that he did with Channel 4 where he was saying that he was doing some research on the FBI and found that they would just tend to find like one nut job.
Chris Morris, though.
Chris Morris, that's his name. He would find one nut job, the FBI would, and then just be like, oh, wouldn't it be great if you were to, like, bomb the Capitol building or something like that? Here's a bunch of money to do that, just so that they can have someone to arrest 3 months down the line and say, look, we're doing our jobs.
This was an interview with Channel 4, and he mentions that the worst example of this, there were some guys who they met, the FBI met, and they were clearly, they needed money, they were down out of their luck. So the FBI just ginned them up to be like, oh, what some terrorist ideas, you know? Also, I've got a lot of money and I'll give you some if you come up with some ideas. So they came up with this stupid idea. It was like, oh yeah, we'll get like four guys on horseback riding to Dallas. And then, you know, question mark,
profit.
We own Dallas.
Yes.
Like that was the level of the plan. It made no sense. And the FBI were like, yeah, we'll give you $100,000 for that. And he was like, yeah, sure, give me the money. And then, well, they did them for plotting terrorism. I was like, yeah. He's clearly just...
Job well done.
Like, they're clearly not going to take over Dallas with four horses and a rifle.
No.
They're trying to scam money out of you.
But FBI need funding from daddy government.
So they do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's not anywhere near outside the realm of possibility. I understand there is some contention, there are questions, but my concluding point with these guys has always been and seems to be if they are feds, they're not doing a very good job of making it subtle, and if they aren't feds, these guys suck.
Okay.
There you go.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's all you can really say on them. But yes, let's carry on to your next segment. Yeah,
fascism, very cringe. Let's go for something, I don't know. Yeah, not cringe, actually. This is something based, because they're doing some good things. So, transparency is censorship. Or this is at least according to the left, and now the ACLU, because the ACLU is a faction of the left at this point. I don't know what the hell happened to them. Well, we do. They got infiltrated, didn't they? But let's start this off. So this is an article here from NBC News. A little tweet from them. New, conservative activists want schools to post lesson plans online. But free speech advocates warn such policies could lead to more censorship in K-12 schools. How?
What?
What are you teaching in the school? You know how a parent might ask their teacher? That's them censoring the teacher, presumably, as well.
The thing is, we've looked into it enough. We know what they're teaching the kids in schools, and I think it's absolutely right that there are many people who don't want their kids learning about this. You are a public... funded teacher.
Yeah, you can't have your lesson plan full of racial supremacy.
Yes.
I know that's a tough red line for you to deal with.
Yeah. The parents are paying your bills, therefore you have to at least do a little bit of what the parents say, such as not turn your kids into race communists.
Like if the parents want that, they can do it in their own time instead of using taxpayers' money for it. This is America, after all. Yep. It's a free country. So let's go to the next link here, because you can see them continuing. Lawmakers in at least 12 states have introduced legislation to require schools to post lists of all their teaching materials online. So this is the point. It's not even a new idea. And as you can see, there are a lot of those states, some blue states as well. It's not even just a red state thing, in which people want while their curriculum's up and running online, so I can go and check whether or not you're indoctrinating the kids into being racial supremacists. And as you can see here, there's a quote, Florida law should provide parents with the right to review the curriculum used in their children's school, says Governor DeSantis, Florida man. And, well, just perfectly sensible. I mean, just, Chad, yes.
Yes, that makes absolute sense to me.
If the curriculum is not rock solid, then it is not suitable for the state education of children.
And the thing is, this doesn't even necessarily just have to apply to, say, you know, all of the contentious race subjects and stuff. If you've got a teacher who's maybe teaching the kids math in a really bad way, where the kids don't get it and your parents can see, oh, you're not teaching my kids right, this doesn't have to be a political thing. It can literally just be like, well, the teacher's not doing the job right.
As small as that. I mean, have you seen the new way of, like, I think it's doing division or whatever. You know how you used to put the numbers on top and then below and then you calculate the times and plus and whatever. There's like a new way of doing it and it looks really dumb, and there's a whole bunch of like shorts and TikToks about it in which people show the new method versus the old method, and all the boomers are like, look, this is way faster. Something as simple as that.
Well, it's new. I don't like it.
Well, also because the new method is crap.
I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine it.
I didn't prepare a clip of that, but I can't even describe it because it was just nonsense. But if we go to the next link here, you can see the complaint. Teachers, their unions, and free speech advocates say the proposals would excessively scrutinize daily classwork and would lead teachers to preemptively pull potential
contentious.
My English. Contentious materials to avoid drawing criticism. This makes no sense. Okay, so if you are bringing up content that is clearly insane, as we have seen from many schools. I mean, the funniest one being from DeSantis, as he mentioned, was it one school was teaching the kids to celebrate black communism, and the school, their kids were failing, 80% were failing literacy because they were spending their time on this kind of crap instead.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be in the classroom.
No, and there absolutely shouldn't.
Demanding that this should be online so we can check if you're wasting our money or, you know, indoctrinating the kids, that is a excessive scrutiny. Is it? I think that's bare minimum scrutiny, frankly.
Notice also, they've not even gone to the, it's not even being taught in schools, guys, because they know that they've lost that argument. Now they're trying to pivot and go to the free speech argument. Well, you guys have been going on about free speech for years, so how do you like it back at you? And you just go, well, this isn't a free speech issue.
It's really not, though. Because it's the argument being that, well, if people don't like my racial supremacy, then you're censoring me. Yeah, but it's also the baseline, you can't teach that already. So it's not contentious, it's not new, this isn't allowed, and you know it. If we go to the full article, there's some quotes in here that I think are amazing. So they first, of course, lay this at the bed of Christopher Rufo, the bad, bad man. They say in a series of tweets this month, Christopher Rufo, a fellow at the conservative Manhattan Institute, has been instrumental in drawing opposition to racial sensitivity training. Ooh, bad. Ooh, what did he do? He's trying to get rid of critical race theory. Yes, terrible man. They said shifting, he said, shifting from pushing bans on teaching critical race theory to pushing curriculum transparency bills is, quote, rhetorically advantageous a position that will bait the left into opposing transparency.
Got him.
He's got you already. I mean, MSNBC News being here, NBC News or whatever, literally leftist outlet already opening up their title with how can they demand transparency? This is against free speech. Doesn't make any sense.
By the way, Christopher Rufo said that if we did this, we would have to oppose transparency.
Yes, we would all look dumb. That's why we're doing it. Big brain. Big brain move right there.
This is Sideshow Bob walking straight into the rake again and again and again.
If we put It's Okay to Be White bills up, they'll all lose their minds and look racist. So look, they walk into the rake one more time. So, quote, the strategy here is to use a non-threatening liberal value, transparency, to force ideological actors to undergo public scrutiny, Rufo said. But also, okay, you can say this is so Machiavellian, the language, but it's also the right thing to do. We shouldn't have ideological actors in state-funded schools indoctrinating kids. I don't know why that's so... Oh, I know why it's so contentious, because you're doing it. And you really don't want it to stop, do you? People are going to disagree on a lot of these issues, said Matt Beisenberg, the Goldwater Institute Director for Education Policy. Transparency is something I think that at least allows for the conversation to know what is being taught. Everybody should be able to rally around the fact that we shouldn't be teaching something in secret. Oh no, you don't. Those children belong to us, not to you, the parents, or to the public at large in that sense of being able to tell what's being taught in state schools. No, it only belongs to us, a very small minority of radical left-wing activists and indoctrinators, ideological actors, as Rufo called them, who want the kids to be their little pets that they can indoctrinate into radical left ideology.
Yeah, if you want to talk about collectivism and what benefits a collective community, everybody benefits from all the kids in the next generation being taught well. Only a very small portion of people benefit from this kind of subversion.
Mm. So even if we're talking about it on a national scale, no, this is also poisonous. If we have the next link here, I wanted to mention something. So if we go to the next one, you can see here, this is a clip from ages ago. We have to break through this idea that kids belong to their parents. All kids belong to their families. This being an old mantra of the left.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, 2 million views there. So we won't bother playing the clip because pretty much everyone's seen it. But also, you might notice that this lady here, MSNBC, MSNBC. So this is one of their people. And of course, that's why they're mad about this. This is why they were this article being mad about it. So let's go back to the article. It's important we call this out, said John Friedman, the director of free expression and education at PEN America, a non-profit group that promotes free speech. It's a shift towards more neutral sounding language, but it's something that is potentially just as censorious. What are they censoring? Because if they're censoring things that already aren't allowed in the classroom, what's the change? What is the change to policy? It is just enforcing the rules as written. PEN America has said that the laws amount to educational gag orders. You cannot teach my white child that he is evil, and you cannot teach the black kids that they are inferior.
I know it's a moot point at this point, but what would the reaction be if this was the opposite way around? I mean, this is the obvious argument that everybody's made a million times, but would they consider it
imagine if the right did it.
Yeah, exactly. Would you consider it educational gag orders if Patriot Front ran into your classroom and was like, white makes right?
Patriot Front have a right to teach your kids that white makes right.
There you go.
That's the argument. And it's no less concerned about the curriculum transparency proposals, which Friedman said are designed to generate more outrage over lessons on race and gender in schools. Right, question for you, sir. Why would it generate outrage? If there's nothing wrong, remember there's nothing going on, we're not teaching critical race theory in schools, not being racial supremacists in schools, we swear, why would it generate outrage to see what you were teaching? Because we know what's going on. Liars. Friedman said the proposals recall tactics conservative activists have used over the past several years to systemically pinpoint college professors and accuse them of liberal bias, which were widely condemned by free speech groups and resulted in some academics going into hiding because of threats. What a weird retelling of the campus culture wars of the last, like, let's say 6 years at least. You remember the campus culture wars?
I think there's some video footage that would strongly conflict with their framing of that.
No, I distinctly remember, as this guy seriously does, it was huge swathes of radical conservative students who were pinning down professors and getting them kicked out.
I remember,
and making death threats.
I remember the videos of Jordan Peterson beating all of those children with a stick.
He was masked up in black block and was just beating this radical left-wing professor.
He had a whip on his holster as well.
That was what's happening the last 6 years. No, because if we go to the next link, we all remember what happens. And here's an example, which is when Milo went to Berkeley. Remember this? So if we scroll down, John, we need to see the picture again, because apparently some people didn't, or are just blind. And as you can see here, these presumably hordes of conservative students there, setting fire to the campus because they don't like Milo for being too liberal on gay rights or something. that's how these people see the situation. You have to be openly warped to try and make this argument.
God, presumably all of those conservative kids read Boris Johnson's tank top bum boy and were like, right, let's get him.
just open liars. No, the reality is, of course, that it's been hordes of radical left-wing students who have been radicalized by their own institutions, particularly in the United States, because apparently American universities are more daycare than university at this point.
I mean, they legit said it. The kids themselves said it. It's not about education or creating a space of learning. It's about providing a home.
It's a kind of home.
Presumably because their dad wasn't back at theirs.
In fact, we have these little building blocks to keep them in so they don't throw all the toys out the pram.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were the ones attacking the conservatives. And if we go to the next link, we can also see the ACLU, as I mentioned, came out in favor of the people saying that this is censorship. Curriculum transparency bills are just thinly veiled attempts at chilling teachers and students from learning and talking about race and gender in schools. Oh my, how the ACLU has fallen. I'm not going to talk about them much because we covered them previously, but just always remember, never give money to the ACLU anymore.
Yep. It's
just
also
a dead organization.
It has to be brought up again and again. These people have obviously not read the bills that are talking about, like, banning critical race theory in schools. They're all very clear. Yes, we want the kids to learn about slavery. Yes, we want them to learn about Jim Crow. We want them to learn about all of this stuff. But these people just go, oh, well, if we can't teach it in the way that we want, if we can't teach them that society is still inherently white supremacist, if we can't teach them showing up on time is whiteness and makes them evil, then you're just restricting my ability to talk about... You're just denying slavery ever existed, didn't you? That's the logic. That's the...
Maybe speaking properly isn't whiteness, it's manners.
Yeah.
Nah, you just don't want to teach them about slavery.
And how would the teacher, on that basis, how would the teachers react if all the kids decided to show up half an hour late to the school where it's like, good job, you're not all white supremacists.
Essentially, that is what they want. And I don't know if you can scroll down on this. I can't remember. There are a whole bunch of reactions to this. I did also see the Libertarian Party just being like, what the hell happened to you?
Their Twitter account's been dunking on everyone recently.
Doing a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah. Give them that.
But let's go back to the article, of course, because there's some last things to mention here. While most schools have insisted they don't teach critical race theory, a new report by the ACLU's Institute for Democracy, Education and Access found that local efforts to restrict schools from teaching or using critical race theory emerged in at least 894 school districts, which enroll more than a third of K-12 students in the country. Right, so a third of all students are in schools now that had to be, well, had to be shown what they should be doing, which is teaching, well, education, and not critical race theory to their students.
What does 2+2 equal?
I had no idea. But I know
I'm
that,
not allowed to
I know,
know
that being late is white is not whiteness.
2+2 is forbidden knowledge now. Yeah.
But also, I love how they mention here that they're just like, well, you know, it's not being taught in schools. But also, a third of all the schools have had to restrict this. Why have they had to do that? Because they're all just, I don't know, high? And they all think this is taking place. No, it is taking place, and they've had to deal with
it. It's not like we don't have accounts like libs of TikTok posting videos of teachers literally going, even if they ban me from teaching critical race theory, I'm still going to do it, even if they fire me.
I think the denial stage of grief for the left is finally over, frankly.
Yeah, they're past it. You have to be past it at this point.
What are they on, bargaining at this point? Or is bargaining coming up in which they're like, please let us do some of it?
This is probably bargaining where they're like, oh, no, no, but our free speech. You need to understand.
They're at the bargaining stage. Good work, Christopher Rufo. The outrage of a critical race theory has resulted in educators being ousted from their jobs, parents becoming suspicious of mental health initiatives, and schools banning books by black authors. I just look at the cope. You're banning books from black authors. No, we don't care if they're black or white. We care if they're mad. We care if they're promoting racial supremacism within a school district. And no, I'm not even going to engage with that sentence, quite frankly, because it's just insulting to your mind. Whereas, don't you know you're banning black authors? I mean, the dude is acting for black Hitlerism, so yes, I'm going to ban him.
Well, I mean, when they're talking about banning books by black authors, they're talking about, like, the Virginia stuff, where the black author had written a book called Genderqueer, which featured images of people sucking on dildos, which are free and open for small children to read as part of their school curriculum.
Banning that black author? Probably a good idea. Many curriculum transparency proponents point to a remark by Democrat Terry McAuliffe made in a Virginia gubernatorial debate in September when he said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. We reject the notion that parents should have a say in what their kids are learning in schools, DeSantis said in his speech last week. And look at that offer. I mean, quite frankly, this is what the debate always comes down to. Do you want to own your child or disown your child?
Would you like your child to be owned by the state?
It's not even the state anymore. Because I'm kind of annoyed by that assertion, because the rules as written are that you cannot do this sort of stuff in schools. The people you are disowning them to, and therefore giving to, are those small group of extremely radical activists who control these institutions by, well, brown-nosing their way through them, and now have control of your kids, if you give it to them. You don't have to.
Well,
you can rebel.
Happily, the Virginia results where Glenn Youngkin won over Terry McAuliffe, the man who gave the we don't want kids to be the we
primary
don't want parents
the...
yeah we don't want parents saying what their kids learn in school. Right. He lost.
Yes.
To Youngkin for a very obvious reason. Literally, all
because
Youngkin
look at what he's
had
offering
to,
you.
Yeah. All Youngkin had to show up and do is go. See that guy? I am not doing what he's doing. And everyone went, well done, we'll vote for you.
You've got the guy in the blue suit who's like, I want you to give your children to me. And then the guy in the red suit being like, you can keep your kids. Who are you going to vote for coming the election? I keep my kids.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disown them to the man in the blue suit.
I've put a lot of work into them so far. It's kind of like diminishing returns if I just give them over.
Yeah. Well, this off. So Bidenberg said teachers could fulfill the institute's transparency proposal by simply posting links to public Google Docs and updating them if they add new resources at the last minute. He also argued that the idea wasn't biased towards conservatives. He said liberals would have an interest in seeing whether their local schools rely on textbooks with overtly right-wing beliefs. Right, firstly, that point there being that you could just use Google Docs, that's how simple this is. The huge burden on them is making a Google Doc. Impossible for left-wing radicals. It's just too much work for them. But then the point there he makes of, well, this isn't even biased towards the left. I mean, if you've got highly right-wing schools, you want to see what they're publishing too, right?
Well, yeah, if you've got books saying, like, slavery was a good thing, don't you know?
Yeah.
I think we want to get rid of those as well.
So why do they not make that argument? Because they know it's not happening.
Well, of course it isn't.
It's never happening.
I mean, they have tried to make the argument. I've seen people post stuff on Twitter where it's like, well, look at this Texan history book. And it's like one page giving maybe the Confederate's point of view. And it's like, well, that might just be written from perspective. That doesn't prove anything. Would you like to post all the rest of the pages on slavery from that book? No. No, of course not.
We'll end this off with, but Democratic legislators have pushed back. Pennsylvania Representative Dan Franklin argued in legislative hearings in October that the proposal was an invitation to the book burners and the anti-maskers to harass our schools and harass our teachers. What? Who's burning any books? We literally just want you to tell you what you're telling the kids.
Where do masks come into this?
Just throwing crap out. The racist, xenophobic, Islamophobic,
trans... I bet they're anti-vaxxers.
It's one of those things. So it's just like, let's just throw all the book at them because we've got nothing else. But also the idea that this is to harass the schools and harass the teachers. Well, if the teachers and the schools are teaching racial supremacy, Chad, yes? I want the school to be a liberal place?
Yeah, throw the book at them. Great.
I want it to be a place of learning, not indoctrination instead. Okay. This bill isn't about transparency for parents. And I should clarify, because some retard at YouTube is probably going to get this wrong. When I say harass, I mean complain, not literally harass. Before the video is deleted. This bill isn't about transparency for parents, Franklin said at the time. It's about bringing the fight that gets started on Fox News to the kindergarten classroom near you. Good, because if those fights are, you are teaching my child that he is evil because of his race, or inferior because of his race, you shouldn't be teaching that in the schools. And they say Democratic governors have vetoed both bills in Pennsylvania. But this is a fantastic point. And the reason I have gone through that whole article is because, as I said, the denial stage of grief is gone. The denial part is just laughable.
They can't. There's far too much evidence against them.
We're very much in the bargaining stage, and all of that movement we have got through. I mean, the acceptance is coming eventually.
We'll get
quite
there,
frankly. And everyone's had a bit of a black pill endlessly on these subjects, and for the right reasons, because the insane stuff has been taking place. But a bit of a white pill, which is that Christopher Rufo and every other person who has worked on this, especially in the United States, especially the parents who went down and complained, their hard work is paying off. And we are finally getting to the acceptance stage, which is, you can't do this crap.
Yeah, not doing in my great hometown. Work.
Yeah, it's a good job. Let's go to video comments.
I'm going to give you two. Justice and love.
So by that guy's definition, if I ever find myself single again, do I need to check off a diversity quota?
I'm sorry, Harry, but your response could not have missed the point further. This may be because love is a difficult word in English, as it means so many different things. Desire, duty, charity, family. Bishop Barron is clear in his video that true DIE are not a checklist of quotas, but ward against unfairness. For that reason, they participate in love, as he defines, willing the good of the other.
Okay. I don't really have much to say to that.
That's you.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I still don't understand what point I've missed, if I'm completely honest. Do you understand?
Okay. I didn't watch the full thing, so I don't know.
Okay.
I assume he's taking a quote there for what the definition of love was. I did see the original video comment, of course, but I don't like the argument that there's like a true version of DIE or something like that, though. Because this is how we got in this quagmire. As much as I have resisted it and found Carl's endless murmuring about how liberalism leads to this place kind of irritating to listen to, he is fundamentally right. I'm kind of worried about how else to deal with that, but I don't have an answer, neither does he, because well, no one does. But thank you either way. Let's go to the next one.
On the left, and there are constant lies and contradictions. I think while some of it is obviously gaslighting, I think quite a few of them are actually clinically insane. They look like it.
There is a really funny article in which there's some scientists who were doing like MRI scans, and they damaged, apparently they also did like some electrolytic stuff where they like damaged part of the brain or did something like that, and then it made the people on the experiments more likely to accept mass migration and things like this. I just really? The response from like people on 4chan were obviously just like, well, okay, literally being brain dead makes you more liberal. Interesting.
Interesting. I mean, there's another one that I think V posted on Twitter the other day, which was the Jubilee pro versus anti social media people, and it's the pro is literally a woman who looks like a clown. She's got the head shaved, dyed red, piercings everywhere, and the anti social media woman just looks like a normal woman. So says all it needs to, really, doesn't it?
I don't like going to this kind of place because it feels kind of lazy, in which you're just like, oh, my opponents are just dumb or retarded or something, right? Some of it I think genuinely is true. I have interacted with some people where you just kind of stare at them and think, okay, something's not right with you, because I don't know how you get to this point. I mean, the funniest was when I was at university and the Bollocks to Brexit bus turned up with EU supergirl. She was lovely, but there were some people from the university who turned up with the little EU flags to cheer on, and I made the point to them because I was... me and John and everyone else was doing the Count Dankula campaign at the time. So I asked them their opinion on that. And they were like, well, look, you've got Bollocks of Brexit on the bus. That's fine. You know, I don't care about this. Do what you want, even though I'm not for it. But you got Count Dankula who's going to jail. So where does the Liberal Democrats Party stand on this? Because they were Lib Dems. And they were like, well, no, that's offensive. And I turned and just looked at the bus and were like, look, you literally have a swear word on the bus. Like, because it got censored to me apparently initially because while they weren't sure about using a swear word in public, because of Section 5 or whatever, and nothing got into them. Yeah. I'm just looking at it like, they might actually just be brain dead. I don't know.
It's massive cognitive dissonance at the very least.
Sure, but it's got to be some kind of mental disorder. Yeah. Like when you've got the word bollocks to Brexit in front of you, and you're like, yeah, but offensive things need to be banned.
I've not done much looking into the like psychology of tribalism, but I would be interested to see where it sort of lines up in terms of like people who get progressively more tribal, more mentally ill.
Probably the case. Let's go to the next one.
Callum, don't make me get autistic on you when it comes to knowledge on martial arts. Before the lockdown, there was a girl who I was partnered up with for the junior classes who was half my weight, but she was similar to my height because she was tall for her age, so we kept getting partnered with each other. Weight is not the only factor when it comes to a throwing technique, because I was double her weight, and she was able to do it effortlessly once she got the skill of it. Weight isn't the only factor.
I didn't understand what any of that was a reference to, or the point you were making.
I think... I don't know, maybe you made some off-color comment. That, to be fair, from what he was saying, he is right. Like, it's all about being able to manipulate somebody else's weight and technique through that, but I don't know why it was directed at you. Maybe he's challenging you.
Nah. Let's go to the next one.
Well, it's 5 My Hero videos down, and you have 4 to go. The best ones as well. Reward. Oh, she's moving. This is who was in the tank that you were asking about. This is Harley.
Hey.
But a side question. Callum, who is your favourite Primarch?
Oh, God, I don't really think about them too much. I don't know, Yumi's.
I don't know anywhere near enough about Warhammer lore.
No, I don't really have an answer to that. I've never really thought about it. I'm going to actually give that some think. John, do you have one? Sanguineous or something, probably? Don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
Well, we'll give you some time to think about it. If one pops into your head, then you can just speak up when we get there.
Yeah, I can see the chat mentioning Sanguineous, so I don't know. I'll think about that. Also, thanks for joining us, the Lizard. Good day.
Lizard's great.
Let's go to the next one.
Callum, to answer your question, cancer has been known about for thousands of years. The ancient Greeks knew it, and they labeled it cancer crab, which I believe is the ancient Greek word for crab, because of the anatomic phenomenon of it just not respecting suborders and kind of growing everywhere the way that crab's legs do.
That's kind of awesome. But how does that... Did they know about, like, most cancers, but then... Because I'm thinking of the cancers inside your body, like... I imagine ancient
lung cancer, stuff like that.
Although, surely they must have known of the symptoms and then maybe they call it something else. But it's cool to know they actually knew that cancer existed.
Yeah, I'd think that was likely.
Yeah, I didn't think so because I would have thought they just think it was a curse or some crap like that.
Someone has put a hex on you.
I mean, if you've got physical lumps that you can squeeze or whatever, then sure. But I was thinking, like, if you get stuff inside your body, they probably wouldn't know. But yeah, thanks for telling me.
Very interesting.
How's it going, guys? Just wanted to announce, a lot of people online have asked me to do a video on constructing languages. So I've gone ahead and done that, and I put it up on Rumble. Go to cscooper.com.au/rumble, and it will redirect you to my page where you can see the introduction to conlanging. I hope you enjoy it.
Alrighty.
Oh, nice.
That's cscooper.com.au. It's just going to be a response to everything you ever make, mate.
Go to cscooper.com.au.
So, Rod, you made for your own back there. Let's go to the next one.
Vaccine booster. Vaccine booster.
Week 2 of keto. I lost 2 kilos. However, I have been cheating a little bit because the other day our neighbor gave us some pizzas because he couldn't finish it. And I also had a couple of Tim Tam Bixits, which were nice, but bad for you. Despite this, I've had any problems with keto, so...
Alrighty.
So, nice. Well, glad to hear it. I don't think anybody's going to judge you too harshly for cheating a little bit.
Oh, you don't know Carl.
Well, yeah, Carl will, but Carl is autistic about it. I respect him for being able to, you know, work himself to the point where he's able to say, you know, even the thought of eating sugar disgusts me. But I think the majority of people are not going to get to that point. And maybe a day a week, you can afford to have a little bit of a cheat.
Yeah, it's mostly for the meme, I think, as well. But
I don't know, he sounds pretty serious when he's talking about the sugar.
Okay, yeah, on the sugar point, you got it. But on the bread or whatever, I feel like you can get away with the Tim Tams. Can you get those in the UK?
Maybe.
Because I've always wanted to try them. And I saw the Australian Prime Minister did a meeting with Boris when we got the trade agreement with them. And they had like a little hamper of crappy snacks for each other, right? And they had some Tim Tams in the Australian one. I was really looking forward to like finding them on the shelves at some point, but I just...
Yeah. Are you hoping that was the introduction to the British market of Tim Tams?
Yeah, essentially. Just like, fair. Like choco pies from Korea or whatever. Just...
Don't worry, Callum. We'll get it. We'll get them eventually.
Here's some crap snacks. Yes.
Yes, please.
Let's go to the next one.
Hey, guys. Haven't dropped you guys a comment in a while. Unfortunately, my whole house came down with the Wu flu. So just want to give you a little, let you know how it was. We all had a mild cough, runny nose. I think the worst part about the whole thing was it made my whiskey taste a bit shit. So if you do get this, recommend switch to a cheaper brand. Wild Turkey 101 is pretty good. Maybe some Bullet. Other than that, cheers to your health. Thanks.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, cheers to you too.
I mean, that is one of the positives of COVID, which is apparently by Tim Tams on Amazon, but... I don't know, I was hoping that'd actually be a thing on the shelf you could buy in a store.
Callum's not interested unless he can just pick it up off the shelf and gobble it down before nobody notices.
Full barbarian.
Are you going to pay for that?
But there's one of the positives to COVID, which is stuff. There's no point in buying expensive food anymore because it all just tastes the same. Or expensive whiskey, as he says.
That was Josh's point as well after he had it for a while, wasn't it?
This is not medical advice, but save money. Get just eat grey slurry for the rest of your life.
You're worried about improving your diet. If it all tastes the same, you might as well eat healthy, right? Yeah.
You know, me and a friend in university, we had this running joke. We were thinking about how to feed ourselves for the cheapest possible amount because we were both living together and, you know, you're students, the money's tight. We ended up coming with the idea of just eating lard. And I was just thinking, would that actually work? Like, how long would that run before you just die?
Callum's still in the process of testing this as we speak. He's 4 years strong.
Don't know anything about nutrition. Still don't, obviously. But I was just thinking, like, imagine if... Because lard's cheap. Like,
I don't think that would be very good for you somehow.
Yeah, but, like, how long until you die is the question on my mind.
After a certain amount of time, if you haven't died after a certain amount of time, would it be worth living if your diet consists entirely of lard? I know this isn't your question, but there are external factors you need to consider at the same time. Callum, on my fourth month of nothing but lard...
But I've saved £300 this month on food.
I can live without the £300. I need my soul intact, Callum.
Just a stick like an ice cream and it's just fucking lard. It's just like, time for dinner, honey.
Oh, that's the thing. My girlfriend did that when she was a kid. She
eat lard.
No, she got sorry if you're watching right now. I didn't mean to say it like that.
All right, tell the story.
No, she when she was a child, she's told me that she went and into the fridge and thought, oh my goodness, a full tub of ice cream just for me, yum yum yum, and took it through to the living room, starts chowing down. Only halfway in does she think this doesn't taste like ice cream, and looks down. She'd been eating a tub of pure butter.
What?
And apparently her as a child just decided, well, I might as well finish it now. I know, it's disgusting. Love you. Please forgive me.
That is grim.
That is gross.
It reminds me of a story. I remember that when Carl got into his keto, he was like, oh, just meat and cheese. Just eat meat and cheese. It's fine. I just told him a story that I went out, I think, what was it? You know when you go to school in this country, secondary school, what is it called? Reception or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was in reception for a bit.
The start of the day? Like that first like 15 minutes?
Registration.
There was some, I remember walking past one of the registrations at one point. I looked in, there was a girl who went to school in my year who just, I'm sorry to be rude, but like it just looked like a boulder. And I looked in, and she just had like a block of cheese, like, you know, you buy off the shelf. And like for breakfast, she was just eating the block of cheese. It was...
Classy lady.
Yeah, but I just...
Did you go to school with Gemma Collins?
But that's why I'm wondering. I mean, why not just eat lard? I mean, what flavour are you getting for that block of cheese?
All roads lead to lard. Well, I mean, Callum, 2022.
Tub of ice cream butter or stick of lard? I mean, is there much difference in these two products?
Well, I think intentionality was one difference. She didn't intend to eat a full tub of butter.
You did say after halfway through she did then intend to finish it.
That's true, but it wasn't the initial intention.
You just eat. Anyway.
Well, apparently you, if given enough incentive... Well,
I never did it. I was just... I don't know why we went on this massive tangent, but let's get back to the video comments.
I wanted to do this for a couple years now, and now that I have my own place, I felt like I could do this now. So Friday, I drove from my apartment, without specifying what city I'm in. I live near the Seattle area, to Spokane to pick up this little guy.
His name
is Gunther. He's a basset hound, half American, half European, and he's my new puppy. For those that don't know the geography of Washington State, that drive is nearly the entire length of Washington from west to east.
Jeez, well, I hope it's worth it. I hope he's a good boy.
Yeah, so, you seem to be trying to escape at the end there, but I'm really glad to see that. You have a good time with your little puppy.
Pets really cheer me up. I know. Let's go to the next one.
The Americas have a lot of ancient civilizations. Perhaps America really is Atlantis, producing the abrupt Atlantis story, giant flood of Noah, as well as the soft Tanabata.
It's an idea. I mean, I always thought it was one of those, like, what are they called, the Canary Islands or something. I just thought it was one of them, but it doesn't really... I mean, when have they had a tsunami? But, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, interesting theory. I don't really know what to make of that. Let's go to the next one. This is what I had in mind.
Time for foot slogging. Who the biggest on the boss? Which button makes this thing go?
I mean, look, it fits, is all I'm saying. You know, the mech you've made that out of literal scrap, by the looks of it, does look like some kind of mech boy's invention. So, it works.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I get your Commissar Yarrick uniform, I guess. Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines, the Stephen Crane House from Haunts.com. The Stephen Crane House... For those of you who don't know, Stephen Crane wrote The Red Badge of Courage, and the house is located in Asbury Park, New Jersey. He lived there in the 1800s, and it is full of ghosts, ghostly children. It was profiled on Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Network, and some of the children will even pick up fireplace pokers and hit you on the head with them.
Nice. Should we take a visit?
He always tells us a really interesting story, and there's always something to distract me, and that time it was the damn spider.
Yeah, I noticed the spider as well. I'm glad it wasn't just me. No, it's still a very interesting story. Once again, when we all eventually get to go to America again, you need to take us on a trip around.
I do wonder, do you actually believe in ghost stories, though? The guy who makes them? I've forgotten your name here. I remember Joan of Bark, but I never... Damn it.
Yeah, no.
No, that would... I'm wondering, because there was a survey done of Americans. I think it was like 33% of Americans apparently believe in ghosts, and it was like 25% of Brits.
But yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
But like, genuinely?
No, genuinely, I know plenty of people who believe in ghosts, even though I am not a believer whatsoever.
See, the chat has been like, ghosts and sheen. let's go to the written comments on the site. So, on the exploding taxi, not to be confused with another taxi, Jimbo G says, the mass migration folk consider terrorist attacks an acceptable cost because of their intersectional worldview. An attempt to blow up a woman's hospital by a Muslim might embolden some Islamophobes, so it must be downplayed. An incel in Plymouth, we need to talk about white men for weeks. Only they have to control of their own actions. Yeah, there was a point made by Douglas in there as well, and response to Finsbury Park Mosque, which is the white Britons of the nation need to look at themselves and what they've done, and this is Mr. Robinson's fault.
It's my fault.
And then it turned out that the dude was radicalized by the BBC documentary Three Girls, in which it was about loads of Muslims in Rotherham raping girls who were white because they were white. Like, now what? So it's almost like injustice breeds terrorism, and then terrorists breed more terrorists, and this is something we try to keep down on. Bart Nonem says, let's be clear, The Guardian and all the other outlets are frightened. Charlie Hebdo showed that journos are a target. They lie because their lives are on the line. In the UK, that seems to be more true than you'd think. I think we've probably played the clip before, but I'll mention it again, which is, you ever seen what Sky News did in response to Charlie Hebdo?
No.
So some French lady went on Sky News for an interview, and she's talking about the subject and saying, you know, it's a load of bollocks, free speech, blah, 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 you know, all that. And then she pulls out the cover of Charlie Hebdo with Mohammed and says, it's ridiculous, in England you cannot even show a picture as simple as a drawing. And the guy with the camera like ramps the camera up so it's pointing at the ceiling.
Oh,
and
really?
The lady hosting it on Sky News goes, no, we've chosen not to show that. Also, we're very sorry if anyone was offended by the showing of that cartoon.
We need to protect the feelings of the terrorists.
This is after a bunch of people have been killed in the Charlie Hebdo offices. Sky News are like, no, we are pussies. We are not doing this.
We are not taking a stand on this except for the one that is most cowardly.
Yeah. Pathetic. Just absolutely pathetic. So maybe you are right on that front. Let's go to the Patriot Feds.
Okay, so Jimbo G says, it seems that a decade ago people would share an image of a white child and a black child holding hands with the caption, remember that racism is taught. How true that turned out to be. Hmm. Yeah. Lord Nerevar says, we could solve the energy crisis by just building solar panels around that Patriot Front video. Life, liberty, victory. Are you taking the piss? Yeah, once again, everything about them seems very generic and almost like a focus-tested white supremacist group in terms of the rhetoric they use. It all seems very whitewashed until all of a sudden they're throwing out the Nazi salutes.
If the SPLC were to roleplay as Nazis for an evening, that's probably what they'd pick.
That's what they'd look like.
I can understand that perception.
Yeah, student of history. I'm actually very interested in who the Federal Fascist Front are because I live in a town of sub 8,000 residents and their stickers keep popping up everywhere and I'm a little confused and mildly concerned. You've got feds in the neighbourhood, mate. That's all I can say.
Your neighbourhood's never had so many police officers. You're as safe as houses.
Yeah, there you go. Joe Schmo, very disappointed in you both. I had no ideas. Lotus Eaters was a racist organisation. Being in shape is a dog whistle to the alt-right, and I will not stand for this anti-American racism.
To be honest, I do love the idea of like the boomer Republican right wing just being like, I'm a patriot. I eat 4 hot dogs for breakfast.
Living the American dream. Yeah, Pirate Skeleton, why are the police helping them get on the U-Haul? I imagine there was a conversation earlier where the words, and this is my badge, were uttered. Yeah, that's one of the, for me, it wouldn't be as suspicious if it weren't for the fact that it's just all those police standing there cordoning off the road for them so they can pull over and all orderly get in the back of a U-Haul with no seatbelts or anything. It's like, surely you're breaking like at least some laws doing that. Mm. And the police would be very eager to arrest white supremacists so they can go, look, we've arrested white supremacists. But they didn't.
Don't you know the police are all white supremacists as well?
I've not read How to Be an Anti-Racist recently. I must go over it again. S.H. Silver says, Patriot Front Manifesto, no swearing. Lotus Eaters rules, no swearing. Maybe Carl Glows.
Anyone who doesn't swear, fed.
Well,
mother
Well, Callum's definitely not a fed in that case. Leo too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just can't help yourself.
The segments with Leo, I love how he said once, "We're not allowed to swear, are we?" I was just like, well, you already have five times.
Yeah, he always realizes after he's already done it.
Yeah, so I was just like, just go for it, mate.
What's the difference at this point? Severian, Nox, even Chernobyl didn't glow so much, and Supreme Duck, BLM activists will be red-pilled when they start recognizing their arresters as right-wing activists. Yeah. Probably. Wait, I've seen you before.
Maybe this is what's fueling the whole "the police are a bunch of fascists," because all the police in their spare time seem to be role-playing as fascists for the agency.
Hey, this is just what we get up to on the weekends, guys.
Yeah. Like all those police officers who were found out to be members of the Klang, where they're actually undercover the whole time.
Oh, yeah,
kept
yeah.
quiet about all these years.
It was, wasn't it? Isn't it basically like 90% of the Klan is probably just feds at this point? And there's like one guy still there, true believer.
Do you remember the story about the black guy who infiltrated the KKK?
What, what was his name? Daryl Davis?
Not the guy who de-radicalized them.
Oh, are you talking about the Black Klansman guy from the film who like convinced David Duke himself?
No, apparently, I don't know if the film's based on that because I haven't seen the film, but apparently there was some black guy who just joined the Klan and just was there for ages. And just wore the robes, so no one knew.
Have you ever seen Blazing Saddles? It's a film from the 70s. They would never get away with it nowadays. And there's a scene where the two guys, it's set in the Wild West. One's a black guy who's a sheriff of this town. And they're all in line for the villain's line up to sign up to be his like henchman. So they dress up as KKK guys. And they go to sign his name and they see that his hands are black. And the guy just goes, "Oh, sorry, he was just digging in the coal mines earlier. Let me just get that for you." Starts rubbing it. "See, it's coming off." Is that what the guy did?
Let's put him out. There is a 4chan post exactly like that as well. I know we're just going on a tangent again, but I remember seeing some guy just posted on 4chan and was just like, "We all hate the Jews, right?" It's like, "Why is your hand black?" And he puts on a white glove, like a dentist.
Oops, sorry,
glove. Guys. He's like, "Oops, sorry." Anyway, on transparency is censorship, Justin B says the problem with posting the lesson plan online is I doubt it will make a difference. How many of them do you think will submit the real lesson plan? I was a teacher for a while, and you had to evidence that your lesson plan met the learning objectives of the curriculum. So either their management and auditors are not checking their plans, or they are already submitting false ones. The issue, I think, probably is with the corruption, that they're fine to just let it carry on. So it may have to be up to the parents. On the point of them just ignoring their own lesson plan, that has happened, and it's a fair criticism. Because remember the Holocaust school?
Yeah.
That wasn't part of the lesson plan.
I think this is where certain more extreme measures, like advocating for cameras in classrooms, come into play, where the parents want to be able to see what they're actually being taught.
Hugo responded in the work chat. It was just like, just body cameras on the teachers. And...
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's a strong argument against it at this point.
I don't think I could make one.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to make one.
Yeah. And we'll end this on a comment from Freewill2112. Transparency is censorship and war is peace. In more ways than one. And I'll plug it the last time because we're about to get it done, which is the active measures. There's a section on here called Peace War.
Okay.
Which is a operation by the KGB in which they would use the pro-peace movement and they would use that as a weapon of war against the United States.
So the hippies.
Yes, but I just love the fact that they unironically called it Peace War.
Goddamn hippies.
No, but like the KGB just being like, "Yes, we're engaged in peace war." You have read 1984, right?
You a joke? Yeah. Are you joking right now?
War is peace.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you want more from us, go to lowercaesars.com. Please just subscribe, especially for all the book clubs and all the premium content and all the rest of it. And also because it keeps the show running. But other than that, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.